are listening to Off Planet Radio at offplanetradio.net and offplanetradio.com.
We are live. It is Off Planet TV. I'm Randy Moggins. We are broadcasting live on the Conscious Consumer Network, CCN. Welcome to the show. Tonight is August 19th, 2015, in the cabal-occupied East Coast of the United States, where, well, things are wearing a little thin right now, and a lot of us are, well, we're ready to roll. We're ready for some action. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Before we begin tonight's show, I need to kind of go someplace a little bit somber. I received news. I got a confirmation on this. I know this has been reported other places, but it's the first I've had an opportunity to comment on this. I want to note the passing of my friend Jeff Harvey, who apparently passed away in June. This word has just gotten to me. It came out in a newsletter from Easy Water People. Very strange. Jeff apparently died very suddenly from, quote, a non-medical situation. So infer from that what you will, but Jeff fought the fight. He was somebody who was out there disclosing the dirty secrets of the military. He did serve with Naval Intelligence on board the USS John F. Kennedy. And he had a lot of insight. He was working feverishly to disclose the medical side of technology, to bring technology forward for the healing of the people, and also to expose military-industrial complex complicity in the present state of the United States, and also ET disclosure, which he talked about at great length over the years. Jeff Harvey, my friend, we salute you out there. The work continues. My guests tonight on screen come to us from a place called The Cosmic Voice, a radio show on Blog Talk, and also a pretty well-populated Facebook group as well. And I'm trying to get the screen array here, but to my right top, Drake Kent Bailey. He is, we'll talk about this in a minute. And Thomas.
Hi, Randy.
And what we're going to talk about tonight on the show has to do with liberating America, hence liberating the world. As I talked about a couple of weeks ago on the show that I did with Roger Landry, I'm asked by people in other countries all the time, when is America going to get its act together? We're waiting for you. Everybody's waiting for America to wake up right now. So what we're going to talk about in the show tonight has a great deal of bearing, not just to the people inside the U.S., but also people around the world who love freedom and want to finally throw off the shackles of tyranny that have beset us for, well, we'll say 100 years, we'll say 150 years. America's been under the knuckle for a long time. And Drake, I first met back in 2012 when I interviewed him on Wolf Spirit Radio, the network headed by the late Dave Corso, another fallen soldier as well. And at that time, he was actively disclosing through David Wilcox plans for mass arrests and plans to begin taking back the country. In the last 3 years, what we've seen to a large extent are delays as a result of the inability of, I guess, the military, as well as people inside of the various militia movements to, quote, get their act together. And in the meantime, what has happened is we have continued to see endless revelations of the complicity of the cabal in, again, the sad state of this planet. Thomas came on board several years ago with Drake, and they began to work together. And I'm going to let them talk a little bit about how they work together. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. And let's begin with a brief intro on your activities, what you do, and where you do it. And Tommy, you want to go ahead and take that?
Yes.
Well, by the way, I didn't give you a proper introduction. You are Thomas Williams.
Yes. Or known as Tommy by the close ones. That's fine. Can you stop it? Where are I? I started my research at a very young age due to various bizarre incidents that occurred in my life, and that took me on the path of learning when I left school, which I wasn't too enamored with. Like many who are involved in this, they've all had issues in school with teachers and how to teach and how to learn. In the 20s, I started researching along the lines of DET and some of the control structure. And then, of course, the internet came in, and that kind of moved everything forward. Suddenly you realize you're not alone in your town or city or country or the world for that matter, and you started meeting other people who were classed as nuts, who had different opinions. Quite why, because you have a different opinion, you're classed as nuts is beyond me, but that's the way it is. That's the way the society is set up. Yeah. And we've all been corralled into that in many ways. I attended, I've had many different, what would be called paranormal experiences. In 2011, 2012, I attended a Wake and Aware conference hosted by Kerry Cassidy, and all the sorts of famous names then, Richard Dolan and Bill Ryan, David Wilcock, you know, Sean David Morton, they were all there. It was quite a star-studded cast. I didn't go to listen to their information. I went there to test whether they were saying the truth or not. I knew their information. I left that conference with a renewed vigor that I had to do something myself. Each member of that star-studded guests all had their own information. I had all of their information because I'd basically been reading for 5, 6, 7 hours a day for 10, 12, 15 years. And so that led me on to continue to listen to David Wilcock and others. And then Drake came along, and I thought, this is something I would like to be involved in. I was on the Universal Voice then. I was on the page for roughly 12, 14 months. I got asked to become an admin in the May of 2013, and suddenly from May 2013 to the end of July, I was asked then to host the Facebook page and also become the radio show host. And here we are, almost 2 years further on, and on we go. So that's my kind of story, really.
Drake, are you with us there? Can you hear us? Looks like he's still pulling his headset together there.
I'm trying to figure out how to get this thing to work. It's not
just please, no hammers, no small firearms, none. We know of Drake's reputation to, let's say, use extreme persuasion on his computing devices, and so we'll hope this doesn't go badly for the machine. It's
no, I like my laptop. The other computer gives me a pain.
Drake, since 2012, when you originally came out being disclosed by David Wilcock. I believe that was in April of 2012. It was kind of a snowball for you in terms of the media exposure that began to wind around the subject, which at that time was basically, as I understood it, what was called, quote, the plan, which included mass arrests. So can you give us a little bit of backdrop on your history, your background, and bring us up to that particular space and time? How did you get involved with this?
How did I get involved with this? Okay. I started out in nuclear defense, Nike missile systems, and got some high-level clearances on account of that. And then to go along with it, I also made friends in the intel community who took note of my unwillingness to serve in that capacity. The fun began basically when I was found out that I was still holding an active top secret security clearance, and I got interviewed by a sergeant major first, and then I got to meet the commanding general, a commanding general, who talked to me for a few minutes and told me to come back to, the next day. I came back the next day and at the appointed time, and he had these books out, and there was more than one of them. And he said, "You check this one out, and check that one out, and check that one out in that order. I got plenty of coffee, and it's going to take a while. Hopefully, you don't have anything to do." And I started reading. The plan basically comes from the 50s, the Korean War primarily. It started in started in World War II, but culminated actually being written during the Korean War. Primarily, the UN was giving away positions of troops, troop strengths, things of that nature, and the commanding generals were getting their butts kicked. Couldn't figure out why, because their tactics were fine. And then they figured out that the UN was making these reports. The way they figured it out was they forgot to make a report. Now, I don't know if there was a dead battery in a radio or exactly how that came about, but they missed making a report that they were intending to move to a certain position. They're going to try to outflank the enemy. And when that report didn't go through, the UN couldn't advise the enemy to be ready. Consequently, we got to kick butt that time. So they figured out there was something funny going on, especially when they found out that the report wasn't made. Then they decided to test it. They left a small contingent of military, enough to protect the radio RTO guy, radio telephone operator. He kept eliciting false reports. "No, we're still hanging in here. We're waiting on some other stuff to happen," and da-da-da-da-da, while the main force moved around and did a number on the enemy again. That's when they figured it out. And the reports have been cumulative on correctness, because as this particular commanding general found out, you have to have complicity by the gamut of the generals or it won't work. You got to know what's going on everywhere. Consequently, they started writing it in a book as to what's what, how it violated the Constitution, protocol, uniform military code, and all that sort of thing. They put it together in a fashion so that they would record the thing, and then over a period of time, they would modify what the remedy might be. Consequently, they basically came to the summation that it was going to take a military action within our country to rectify it. That's where the mass arrests and all that other happy stuff comes in, basically. That's about as good as you get. Go to Divine Cosmos and listen to the interview, and you'll get all those skinny.
So from 2012 forward, and we had this window for a while, Drake, and I know you remember this, where there was a lot of tension. There was a belief that within probably about 3 months of the time that you began disclosing, we would begin to see movement within the country that would culminate in mass arrest. That did not occur within that time frame. And I know a lot of people at that point in time became very critical, got very antsy. They went, oh, Drake's full of shit, you know, and a lot of people got discouraged and walked away. And so what we watched over the next year was a slow drip in terms of almost anticipation melting into what I would call discouragement. But you continued, you persevered, you pressed forward, and bring us into the next window. Where are we now in the process relative to where we were in 2012? Are we closer? Are we further away? Have things changed?
We're much closer, okay? Here's the deal. It takes an extraordinary amount of tactical logistics, and if somebody does not know what logistics is, that's getting everything together in the right direction as well as in the same general place in order to accomplish a specific goal. The military was not in a position. They sort of forgot to mention that when I outed everything. So if somebody such as some of the people I know in spec ops and certain other intel areas are willing to back this up, that's up to them. I don't care. I got reports from them that not only was the military not ready, but they were making a whole bunch of moves. You just couldn't see them because you were not militarily oriented. Nobody's watching, you know. But when you move a whole base from one place to another, it would normally garner attention unless nobody, you know, who cares? Nothing's happened, the usual stuff. And so consequently, nobody noticed. It has taken from then until now to get things logistically prepared in order to do what I stipulated in that first interview. We're close. I'm not going to say how close because they asked me not to.
Well, not only that, but I don't think any... We lived by our nerves for that window of time, but I don't think it's constructive now to do anything than look towards the goal and not have these short-term predictions. Part of what I've noticed within the movement, the freedom movement, is this requirement that they see everything that's going on and have constant motion, rather than realizing that what we needed to do all along was to get people's asses moving, get them involved, get them mobilized to a place where they're prepared to begin to act. I mean, just the thought of standing up to the military, the thought that we need to do something very radical within our own country is rather unnerving to the average person. So I suspect in a lot of ways the last 3-year window has been a gift in terms of preparing people, watching the consciousness shift, which takes us into another subject, because I think that was part of the package as well. Do we now have, and I've heard you say that it's possible that we may have as much as 70% of the military, quote, on our side. Is that a fair number? Or are we looking at that as kind of the watershed for being able to move forward?
I would say that's conservative at this point. The reason I say that is you have to understand that people in varying positions of power, be it the military or politics, a lot of them have been coerced in one form or another into this horse hockey that they really didn't want to be involved with. But in lieu of having your kids roasted on a spit in front of you, you comply. So, you know, you have that factor, and it's not nice. Many people on the outside of these things don't get that part. And that's some of the reason for the objection. Then to go along with it, we had a weak, and I would honestly call it a weak militia, which has been strengthened tremendously because everybody was pretty sure that the commie Chinese was coming or the Russians are coming or something of this nature. So they started getting ready. Then Obama came out trying to take guns away, and everybody bought a gun. So right now, we're not in all that bad shape in terms of that part of it. The people need to be ready in terms of 2 weeks minimum food and water, that sort of thing. Make sure you got shelter ready and all this. The problem has been that there are lesser in terms of activities community-wise than there should have been. In other words, certain portions of things definitely go directly against an individual. People coming out saying, stipulating that anybody that owned a gun, specifically veterans and specifically freedom people or freedom oriented people or people part of the Tea Party, whatever, were traitorous insurrectionists or whatever, all that, they can stick it. That's not the case. The case is that we want to take the that are screwing us and say, look, here's the Constitution. You can either abide by it or leave. Now, many of the people don't also understand that those people who have voted for things like the NDAA, which allows people to abscond with you, that the Patriot Act, that Homeland Security Act, things of this nature are grossly unconstitutional. And everybody who had supported or voted for it are guilty of treason. Then they begin to understand how easy it is for the military to take action against somebody who is a politician, and they hate having a politician come in and politically squat in the middle of their parade. They really do. They don't appreciate politicians. So that's our situation. Yeah, we're close. I'm not going to stipulate exactly how. I've got dates, but I can't divulge them.
Is it reasonable to assume at this point, Drake, that we do have top brass, in other words, men with stars and birds on their uniform, inside of the military, either inside the military or the parallel military of people who have been purged from the ranks of the military? Do we have the level of support on that level to have a command structure necessary to do this in country?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. See, what you have to understand is that even those who have been replaced, in some cases, are still given the orders. I thought that was marvelous.
I've heard that as well. Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Obama. You done stepped in another one, Pastor Patties.
Yeah, no, basically, I had heard the same thing. That's why I used the term parallel, because I believe that there are those who are, let's face it, when you're a high-ranking officer, well, all military are military for life because they took an oath. But I believe that officers, for the most part, are men of honor. Our military has really been blackened by the adventures of everything that we've done, especially since, I'll just draw a date, Vietnam, but, even 1993 with the first Iraq War. I think the prestige of the military began to turn down. And I believe also that there are major military figures who were thrown under the bus by their commanders in chief. I won't mention any names here, but I know of one specifically that comes to memory that I believe has very good reason right now to want to redeem not only the tarnished image of his own career, but also the image of the military in general. Is that a sense you have as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The military, the police, the FBI, the CIA, and federal marshals and the people that are quote, good guys, unquote, they want their reputation back, and they're willing to do what it takes to do that. In short, you've got all the good guys waiting. There are a couple of things that need to be accomplished and come out publicly before they actually take that action. But the thing is, when they do, you're going to have a lot of squawking. Last time that they took a vote on a constitutional issue, the people who voted had to be absolutely squeaky clean. Mm-hmm. They had, if I remember correctly, 3 to 5 in the House and two or three from the Senate. Two abdicated from the House and one from the Senate abdicated, and the others voted on it. The others were not allowed to legally. So you have to understand that there are a lot of things that have been going on. And just that's only just superficial. You get into the depth of it, and you'll find that a lot of the actions that people think is one thing is actually a two-way street. In other words, you've got an altruistic result that looks like they're going complying with something else. And all of a sudden, they're in position and they're ready to go. And oh my goodness, we didn't know you guys were going to do like that. Bingo.
The other side of this is the economic structure right now. Everybody that I have talked to knows that we are in a window right now where, quite frankly, the ice is thinning every second on the economic system. The best bets say that we could be in free fall economically by the middle of September. Funny how that date keeps coming up.
Yes.
Do you have a sense right now that the economic collapse will precede any type of military action? Again, I'm not asking you to give time windows away. I'm trying to get a sequence here. But it looks to me like, unless there's an intervention right now, the economy is going to tank. What is your sense about that?
Well, they can't intervene. It's not possible. Go ahead, Tommy.
Go for it, Tommy.
Yes, well, regarding the financial, there's so many different avenues that can bring it down. You know, this is not just a USA thing or the UK. It's global. And it's not only our people who are sick of the cabal, so are the rest of the world. And they've been working behind the scenes over a prolonged period of time, cleaning house and confiscating a lot of the funds that the cabal have been shipping offshore through various methods. And basically it's like Sun Tzu, the art of war without firing weapons, which is a lot better than the original plan, which would have entailed wiping 80% of us out on both sides, which would have been a full-scale war. So yes, we've had a delay as such, but that delay has helped humanity in general. There's a lot more people have woken up, particularly over the last 2 to 3 years. Like you said earlier, the conscious levels have increased dramatically, and more people are coming aware of the issues that we currently face. But going back to the financial stuff, there's literally 7 or 8 hammers that can bring it down in one day or 1 hour, and they're all lined up and they're all ready to pop. It's just a matter of which one and the timing that's going to suit best. What follows after it is will be down to the people like Sir Drake and yourself, is to get it out, the message out of really what is going on, because people are going to be in shock. You know, Drake will tell you more about the banks will likely shut down overnight, no warning, and suddenly you've got no money and the cards won't work until intervention is forced on them and the new system, which is ready to go, is implemented. Then the banks will be open again. If there's chaos on the streets, it's going to delay it. You know, I know a lot of people will panic, but we've been telling our members and others who listen to the show to have 2 weeks of food and 2 weeks of cash. If you've got money in the bank, take it out. Just take it out. Whether you buy gold and silver or buy something physical or you buy a load of food, that's your choice. Well, passed on the law on January the 1st, banks here and the UK declared all deposits their legal tender in the case of an emergency. Well, the banks collapsing means that's a case of emergency and all your funds in your account will be removed. They're removing them already on the higher end people. Reports of Chase and Goldman Sachs and the Citigroup stealing out of people's accounts in the higher range that's a sign of their desperation, was the short of liquidity in the cash side. It's only a matter of time before they start raiding your accounts. So we ask the people to remove their money from banks.
We're already noticing a shortage of cash right now. And it kind of shows up in funny ways. Let's see. Went to a gas station, made a small purchase, handed the clerk a $20 bill, and the clerk didn't have $10 bills. They proceeded to make change with $1 bills. We're seeing coin shortages, oddly enough. Quarters seem to be strangely in high demand right now. These are little things that people need to begin to notice, the trends. I mean, the big indicators right now, just, well, look at the Baltic Dry Index and tell me where the goods are coming into the country from right now for Walmart and Target and these other stores that rely on offshore sourcing. The Baltic Dry Index is telling me that there's almost no activity. I live in the transportation hub of the Northeast United States. I can tell you that cargo traffic coming through here on rail lines, which is normally stacked with Chinese containers, has dropped by 75% over the last 3 months. I can tell you that we're noticing now that certain things just aren't in stores anymore. They just mysteriously disappear. So, you know, these are the subtle signs that people need to begin to observe. Yes, right now we still have goods. Yes, right now we still have groceries in the stores. But it is the subtle signs of the subtle signs that are the telling us. Drake, please go ahead.
If you want to get scare the crap out of yourself, that's not really the one that does it. I did a comprehensive survey back in 2006 is when this started, of Walmart. Now, people don't know what Walmart is, but it is the government purchasing agent, period. Anybody don't realize that? Now you do. But here's the thing. Used to buy specialty products there, and that could have been gallons of aloe vera juice or whatever, but specialty products. All of a sudden, these specialty products were no longer being carried. Then I started noticing that certain canned goods that I particularly liked, they were an off-brand, but they were no additives and preservatives, stuff like that, and you don't find that in canned goods. Now, so I was buying the stuff, and all of a sudden, I come back, and it ain't there. What they did was they took the white label throwaway and expanded it a little bit on each side to fill up the shelves. That's first. Number two, the whole of their meat packaging situation is one of carbon dioxide. All other meats are full of carbon dioxide gas. What this does is it preserves color and keeps it from going rancid real quick. Now, I will suggest if you buy meat at Walmart that you cook it quick if you open the package. I'm serious. I said I took a package of hamburger, which is not necessarily the greatest thing, but open that turkey up, and I got distracted, so I throwed a piece of plastic over it. I come back and it already turned brown and wasn't smelling real great. Yeah. And this is 20-30 minutes. So what I'm trying to express is this as well. What you want to watch very closely are the food chain supply. You can live without a whole lot of things. You got to have food and water and water. Shelter, you can fudge on that and a few other things like of that nature, but you cannot fudge on food and water. Okay. Number two, the big biggie, and that's cash that you were mentioning. Forget having shipping. The only shipping going on is cross country in the lower tier of the states. The rest of it is not busy. As you've noticed, they're staying away from rail because the rail people decided they wanted to raise their rates. Only like a nickel or something, a carload, but they gave them the finger and said, okay, we'll use trucks. The thing about cash is that it's very simple. Lay up at least and this is a very simple rule, a week's worth of operational funds, regular old greenback dollars is fine. You're going to have about a month, if it goes, somewhere in that area, where the greenback will be still honored in the states. It won't be honored outside of the states, but it's still honored in the states. However, in some places, some people won't take it. This is where what's called junk silver. This is why your quarters, the cover, the coating on a quarter, when heated off, is high silver, whereas it's all copper inside. Mm-hmm. If you get 68 or 64 and before, you go from, let's see, what was it, 78% silver absolute in the 68s. 64 and before is 80 to 85% silver. And there's a simple chemical test to find out which. Anyway, and it's not real expensive. You're going to pay, be paying somewhere around spot price by weight, according to the percentage of the coin you buy. So the average person can take 20, 30 bucks and go get some of it. Okay. That is going to be one of the recognized currencies. And the other one is going to be gold. If you got a lot of money, you can buy gold. If you don't take precautions now, you're going to find yourself in the lurch. And here's how this works. In 2007, when the market went down, it took them 3 minutes to collapse the monetary market in the United States. 3 minutes. To totally clean it out would have taken about 5 minutes. Stockwatch caught the activity, and they only made off with $2 trillion. They were after 23, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, so you got 5 minutes. That's not time enough to, you know, tighten your britches before it hits. The next part, food. All of a sudden, you're going to find that there's a problem getting lettuce. We had that problem. So did a couple other major stores. Kroger is not a little podunk place.
Not at all.
And they could not get lettuce that was decent. So that means that the food chain, excuse me, has been fried in terms of being able to get something from it. So if you don't have a food chain, you're not in cattle country, you don't grow your own veggies, or you don't have stuff laid up, and I'm talking dry goods, noodles, rice, beans, that sort of thing, and then figure something to, you know, if you got a gun, you can shoot a squirrel and flavor up the rice real nice, believe me. But if you're not prepared in this manner, your survival is questionable. Now here's the other fun and games. The thing that Tommy was mentioning is as to the situation with civilization in general, total collapse of the economy and things of this nature. I'm going to stipulate that the economy itself probably will limp along, not go totally down. Meaning if somebody will figure out some kind of a way to make a few bucks here and there doing this, that, or the other thing, supplying somebody with something or doing something for someone. They might get paid in cans of beans. Who knows? Doesn't matter. But the other part is that currency, when the currency goes down, you're going to have about a 2-week period. It takes 3-4 days to shut it down. It takes a week to align it or restructure it, and about 3-4 days to bring it back up again. The dollar will be being exchanged for a treasury certificate, not a note, certificate, just like the silver certificate and gold certificates. You'll be getting a treasury certificate instead of dollars, same sort of denomination, worth a hell of a lot more. And that way the little people and people that need to have some sort of cash flow don't die from it. There you go.
Yes.
Tom, what do you want to add into that?
The problem, as I see it, you mentioned the Baltic Dry. And yes, I've seen the empty shelves in Walmart and Target and Home Depot and Lowe's. Is too many of our goods that we buy are from the East. And the East has turned around and says, your currency has no value. They are aware that we have little or no gold in this country. And that is what supports or creates the value, or should create the value, of the notes. So suddenly the East is facing a situation whereby the dollar will eventually collapse. And they're sitting, from what I have been told by sources, they're sitting with roughly 70 to 80% of all the dollars ever being printed. Suddenly they've got 70 to 80% of nothing. It's just pieces of paper.
Well, not nothing. These are debt notes. These are charged backs.
Well, what I'm saying is currently has no value.
Right.
And that's the Federal Reserve note, in essence, has no value. It's only what they tell us it has a value. And the value is what it's supported by, what commodities it's supported by. And if you've got no gold and silver, and we're led to believe that that's the case, then the rest of the world then sees that your currency is a worthless piece of paper and won't trade. We then have a major issue in the US, is that we've shut down, and the UK, for listeners in the UK, we've shut down our manufacturing and we don't make nothing ourselves. So that's a problem that we will have to overcome fairly quickly, so that the country becomes more self-sustaining than it is currently. Because at the moment, we're at the behest of the East, because all our goods come from there.
How long, theoretically, can the country run from the time that the system shuts down, the banks close, and the economic system goes into free spin? How long before we begin to see, well, let's just say, first off, civil unrest? I mean, where do you want to be on the day when the EBT cards don't work anymore? Because I would think that is going to be like a 24-hour fuse inside the inner cities.
Yep.
Well, this is a part of the thing. We intend to go at the time of financial freedom. There's going to be a green light notification. I've got things set up to go on live stream for the whatever duration it takes, and we will live stream the facts to the people. The banks, yes, they're closed. Okay, can't help you. Well, there's a combination of things that will alleviate a lot of the problems. Now, there's going to be some problems when your food stamp cards is not charged up and things of that nature. That's going to create some problem. You're going to have some problem with delivery in some places where the trucker just walks off the job and says, I ain't working for cases of beans or whatever the deal may be. The situation is that we have people to take the place of these people who would normally deliver or operate plant, power plants, water plant, all that. And there are caches of food and water situated strategically all around the states. In other words, you might get army food, but it's better than starving to death. Not much, but better than starving to death. So the situation you've got is you're going to end up with an economy that's going to limp along, and it may be bumping its butt hard. I don't know yet. That will become obvious until this actually takes place. However, I'm going to stipulate that knowing the people I know who would not want to do anything less than be busy, you're going to have a situation where they're going to try to be doing something. You're going to have, you got a lot of those people. When they see somebody able to do something, then other people will join in at. So you'll have a lag of 2-3 days, maybe. That's a guesstimate, but that's what I would suggest. The reopening of the banks in a totally transparent manner with good currency for a change is going to help, but you got to remember that you have to get it from Treasury out and about. Consequently, they've been printing it already, as I hear. Whether or not they've been printing notes or certificates, I've seen the note, and it's no more valuable than the friggin' greenback we got. It is a Treasury note, meaning it's a debt instrument and it doesn't have any value. So they're going to have to run in printing presses 24/7, and they're going to have to be quick with it. Okay. The other part is that as we rectify that, when the financial basis, the power basis goes, then these quote oligarchs, controllers, et cetera, no longer have that power tool to use against the people. Once that happens, then we are fully back in charge. There's a stipulation of temporary governance for a period of six months after, give or take, after the takedown or arrests take place. And the governance that comes in is going to be skeletal. I've been offered a position. I'm going to probably take it to help out. In with the idea of reorganizing and cleaning the government, you have to have somebody who can negate treaties, executive orders, and emergency power acts such as Homeland Security and things of this nature that were never constitutional to begin with. The constitutional sniff test is going to be it for all laws and all of the legislation and all the activities. Meanwhile, everybody else goes to the FEMA camp. All those dingleberries in Washington get to make a nice little bus ride. So you get that mess out of the way. You have to have some people in there in order to be able to operate. You will have a skeletal crew. If after about a six-month period or however long it takes for the individuals to get done, they've done a job that you like, you can vote for them and keep them. Now, we're going to have voting open 24/7. We're going to have cable channels instructing people about freedom, Constitution, their responsibility with it, et cetera. So, I mean, this is, you know, and it's going to be print material. Everybody's going to get a copy for sure. This is, as I understand it, is what's supposed to happen. Okay.
One of the other sides to this, because every situation, this is a very complex situation, has to do with the corporations, because obviously there's a symbiotic relationship between the corporations and the government. The government itself is a corporation. And I know that most people recognize that fact. What happens at the point where we begin to clean the government out? We also have a juggernaut that sits inside these multinational corporations, which control huge amounts of assets. And in some cases, in the case of the military-industrial complex, these corporations control assets that related to military and intelligence. Are there, in your opinion, safeguards to ensure that these corporations don't go rogue in the interests of maintaining the power structure?
Well, sure. Let's put it this way. If everybody turned everybody loose, how many people out there are going to be wanting to run around and shoot people? If you really think about it and you really look at it, not that many. Most people don't have the capability of pulling the trigger, first of all. Secondly, the big bad boy makes a lot of noise, sticks guns in your face and up your nose and whatnot, and never does shoot the thing. So you got you have that element, okay? You also have the quote element of takedown. Now, in terms of the takedown, there's going to be an iron curtain dropped on the continental United States at the border. Nothing in, nothing out, period. This means that the large corporations won't be able to transfer squat. And if they don't like our idea of separating church and state, maybe if we put a battle tank in their office, they might change their mind. Well, now, you remember the big fall in 07, 08?
Yeah.
Do you know that the adjutant general had several thousand paddy wagons on Wall Street and was ready to slap the chains on? That kind of got missed.
Well, I remember Elliot Spitzer starting to prosecute these bankers, and then all of a sudden he had a funny hooker problem.
No. I'm talking about the adjutant general, military paddy wagons on Wall Street, ready to take them all to jail.
Good.
I come very close to getting the video. I tried. I found out where the video went, and I'm not going to fight those guys for it. But what you have to understand is that everybody's aware. Everybody's ready to do their job. All we have to do is two things, and those two things are very simple. One, the people collectively have to get together, come together, and say, enough's enough. At that point, I assure you that the military will take their action. Now, you're going to have a lot of people saying this, but that's the key. That's one key. The second part of it is that at any certain given point when there may be a serious sociological problem such as extreme unrest nationwide, nobody wants a civil war. You're still talking 80% casualties both sides. Nobody wants to be the last man standing. So consequently, you're going to have people more compliant with, well, what the hell can we do about it? Okay, well, hold on a minute. Let me make a phone call and find out where the water's at or whatever the need or problem is. Okay, my money's no good. I can't get my ATM. Well, you were told to take your money out of the bank and you didn't listen. Now you're going to have to deal with it the hard way. You're going to be eating MREs. Don't you love it? You know, because your loving government is going to give you food that a dog would turn its nose up at, and you got a choice. Starve or eat it. Not difficult. So you have to understand then within that, all of a sudden people run face first into personal responsibility for what for their condition. Yeah. We allowed this shit. Consequently, we got to deal with wiping our own butts in terms of the shit we got to deal with. So, and it's coming. I mean, this is not pie in the sky or anything. It's coming. There are way too many people, way too pissed. I have had to have people stand down on several occasions in different places who are getting ready to take over major cities at gunpoint. I mean, these nutcases have battle tanks, and we're getting ready to see if they could run over the police department with it. You know, that sort of crap. And, hey, dude, no. Go back and drink some more of that Who Hit John. Leave the tank in the tobacco barn and relax. You know, we can't have that stuff. Well, seriously, I mean, quite honestly, you've got these people trying to foment this stuff because they want a civil war so they can declare martial law. The only problem with that is the military won't go along with it, and that's going to screw up that. But at the point that they declare, and then this is the reason they haven't, the point they declare martial law, the military takes its action. You fuck with us, and everybody goes to jail. Excuse my language. You screw with us, and everybody goes
okay.
to jail.
We're not family friendly here.
Yeah, well, some people don't like that. But anyway, the ideology is very concise. I like it. Some of the people I've talked to that are high ranking officials and varying levels of different. Departments, military, federal marshals, etc., people that know what's going on, intel community, these people all stipulated to me that they do not want the carnage. Nobody does. They would rather have their reputation restored. That means they're going to have to be on the side of the people, which means they're going to have to perform, which means they're going to have to make the arrests. They don't have a choice, because if they don't, we're going to come after them too. And they don't want that mess. Very simple. It's not complicated. But you have to understand that then in terms of world politics, everybody's watching us. Meaning that right now, the show that Tommy and I do, we hit up to over 60 foreign countries. Last time I counted, there was 20-some. They're waiting on us to start our, quote, revolution. Yeah. When we start ours, they do theirs. And some of the countries are going to be really surprised that the Yanks is doing it. Here we come. I hope you're ready. You know, I can just see these guys going, oh, man, you know, sure know how to mess up my Sunday. I can't watch football. It is comical in some ways, but when you realize that the major powers in that 20-some are going to go in a toilet and the governments are going out one way or the other, then you begin to understand that everybody in the right spots are aware of the cabal. They know about the banking system. They know about the Rothschilds and all this other happy horse manure they've been playing with us about. And Tate would love to get even. I have never been stuck with a pitchfork, and I hope I don't have that problem, but these guys might. Well, think about it. What was it, Italy or France or somewhere recently? They delivered several hundred thousand tons of manure, and they dumped it on City Hall steps. Well, and then they decided to be nice and set it on fire. Oh, anybody ever smell? Everybody ever smelled a hot outhouse? I mean, a hot one that's sizzling. Oh boy.
Oh yeah.
Well, so anyway, yeah, it's like people don't understand what's coming. They think that the collateral accounts are some kind of mystery. Well, they're not. They're real. Neil Keenan and I are fairly close in terms of what we're doing. He's doing a different portion of the same operation. This is a collective kind of thing where we have a team working on things. Then you got the ET Human Advancement Future of America. Well, you have to understand, first comes the wave. This is going to be an extraordinary, it's like going to be turning the lights on and all the bugs run, basically.
You know what? I'm looking at the clock right now, and I want to give everybody a break here because I know you guys have been running for 2 hours before coming on. Why don't we take a break here? Biggie's going to line something up, take about a six-minute break, bio break, take care of all the needs, and come back, and then let's segue into all of that because the big conversation goes into the subjects that you just outlined, specifically collateral accounts, what Neil Keenan's doing, the consciousness, the ET factor. And I think we can burn an hour and about 15 minutes with all of that right now. So, Biggie, line it up and take us out, brother. We're going to take a bio break. We'll be back in about 6 minutes. The second part of Off Planet TV. And we are back on Off Planet TV Live. I'm Randy Moggins with Thomas and Drake from Cosmic Voice. And I want to say something first off. What an amazing bunch of people Cosmic Voice is. I have watched for the last 6 days as the people at Cosmic Voice have kept our meme, our post, at the top of that page. It's been like clockwork. You people are amazing. You people are the ones that are going to carry the mantle through to this whole game by basically being willing to constantly do the work that needs to be done. Freaking amazing. You people are awesome. And I want to thank Drake and Tom for coming on tonight. They actually repositioned their show on Blog Talk Radio so that they could be here tonight to meet our schedule for this broadcast. That's extraordinary. And again, I want to thank you both. Did we lose Drake? He seems to
appear so.
Okay. Well, I'm sure he'll drop back in.
Yes.
Anyway, thanks for doing that. Thanks for being here. This, for me, is a real high note in being able to bring you, Tom, and Drake on to do this interview. I think this kind of sets the stage for another level of communication in the days to come, because I know that one of the things that we've got to do is we've got to utilize the media. We've got to get hearts and minds. We've got to get people unified. And since Drake dropped off, we're going to talk about the collateral counts and what Neil Keenan's doing when he comes back in. Tom, let's talk a little bit about the consciousness, about the wave, and maybe we can get in a little bit on the subject matter that you've covered as well, on the parents and the structure of things that are not apparent to most people, mainly because most people, this goes into the ET issue, and most people really don't want to deal with this. So let's kind of start the conversation here generally with what's occurred, because again, 2012 was pivotal. I do believe that something happened in 2012 that basically began the launch towards where we are now, which is why we couldn't get to where we were then, because the consciousness of the people wasn't ready. So
I have a slight difference on understanding. We'll talk about the wave.
Okay.
The wave started in 2002, and it's a frequency wave. It's almost like a pulse, and it comes from the galactic central sun. in April of 2014, it's been coming in and increasing. The frequencies have been increasing, and it's due to alter the consciousness of the planet. The wave is primarily for Gaia, Mother Earth. The inhabitants who are accepting of it will also feel those benefits. Now, in April of 2014, that wave was enhanced to increase more people into the effects of it. And you know, most people are saying it's September. It could well be September, but the wave is already here. People are experiencing and feeling the difference. The bulk of the wave should be September, and it will have an overwhelming effect on how people think and how people react to each other. But the primary reason is for Mother Earth.
Explain that a little bit more. What the energetics behind this are for the planet. We're attached to the planet. We're part of the planet. We're the children of the planet.
Well, yeah. Gaia is the planetary being. Yes, our planet is a being. It's not a rock. It's a being, like most of the other planets. But Gaia, in particular, is our home, and she provides everything. Everything you need, require in life is provided by Mother Earth. And it's been, in the past, it's been split. And that's why you get the names, different names, Gaia, Mita, and Terra. It was split into three. And the being has suffered greatly with us over many, many thousands of years. That's my understanding. Drake, do you want to chime in on that?
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. You also have the consummate benefit to the individuals. Every living thing on the planet benefits. More specifically, the higher level gets a higher level of benefit. That just goes along with the program. But the ideology is, in combination with it, a sort of a reset of the attitudes. In other words, a person normally aggressive will wake up the next day and not feel like they got to be that way, kind of thing. Many of the problems that we've had between differing peoples, differing places, will not seem to be something that can't be attended to. These sorts of things. The doomsday horse hockey ideas will tend to be dissipated. I mean, Tommy knows all this. I mean, it's a whole lot of things that are involved in it that I read from looking at the wave. And what's funny is that it's not a wave in terms of an energy that people are familiar with. It's more like of the spiritual type, which is known as energimata. And energimata is like refreshing the spectrum so that the whole spectrum is not only balanced but functions the way it's supposed to. And so when you have our Mother Earth, Gaia, the living entity, getting that kind of a benefit, then the weather control and all the other happy stuff they've been playing with might be totally null and void. I'm not totally sure of that, but the feeling I get is that it will attend to those problems. In other words, you're not going to have California slide into the ocean and all this other happy stuff. You're going to have the ideology of the intent of balance that was used in terms of the Great Pyramid locations, the reason that the only mountain range that's never moved is the Appalachians, and the change of, and this is really neat, the change of the prime meridian from its present location to the Appalachian Mountains. So there's all kinds of fun and games that are supposed to be involved in this that people are not aware of. I mean, this is some of this is foretold. If you can, I got a couple of books and found out that Egyptian glyphs are fairly easy to read once you get the general idea of them. And then cuneiform is not that difficult if you get into it. And yet, you get a and this happens to people. It's kind of like a deja vu. Well, I remember that. And why I remember it, I don't know, but there it is. And it's sort of like reading plain English, and you know, where somebody spray painted it on the wall kind of thing. These things have been told and foretold. The Sumerian tablets got their information from ancient sources, they say. Well, ancient sources means in Sumerian, three times or more in age. So that was 12,000 years ago. So 36,000 years ago, somewhere in that area, was the last big cataclysm on the planet. There was a minor one about 25, 26 that, but the last major one was about 36. So what you've got is the effort by nasty elements, specifically ET, to subjugate Gia in order to control us. Gia's not having any of it. And then to go the other step further, you got this wave that's going to mitigate a whole bunch of this stuff. So, you know, it's all beneficial. People will suddenly, as well, from what I can understand, start waking up. Now, we did have a wavelet that went through that I thought was pretty cool. Tommy turned me on to that, and oh, man, that was delicious, Tommy. Thank you. You run across these little things, and when you attune to it and pay attention to it, there's a load of things that come about. And so that, and that's just one part. There's more.
Yes. So you mentioned about the ET. You want me to go into that, Randy?
Sure. Let's go ahead. We'll come back to the collateral counts. Go to that.
This is in the past has been a kind of a no-no subject, and a lot of people have fear. Well, I haven't seen it, so it doesn't exist. But then you could say that about Jesus or God. We nobody's seen them, but people believe they exist. And it's all about the programming of the individual. Now, people have seen these objects and experienced some horrendous stuff all around the world over many, many thousands of years. Because our history goes back a lot longer than people realize. And so it's always been a difficult subject to approach. But what we've been getting over the last 20 years is drip-fed disclosure of the reality of the ET situation. This control structure that we are under currently has been operating for the last 13,000 years. There was an issue on the planet between the Atlanteans and Lemuria, and an outside force that were after the Atlanteans, and war was fairly heavy and bombardment was fairly heavy. There's archaeological evidence all around the world showing these type of explosions, particularly the nuclear type. There's fallout going back 13,000 years, and humanity was struggling badly and asked for requested for outside help. The elders who look after the planet, who are many, many years older than we are, suggested we didn't go to this particular group. We were known as the Draco, but humanity asked for them to come, and they came. And for a while, they did create pretty much a paradise on Earth. They give us all the technological toys and the tools, and taught us different things, and things were great. But then we went too far with technology. And this is the danger we face currently of going too far with technology. Technology has to be in balance with nature. Otherwise, we repeat a past mistake and fail again. So, you know, there's a lot of talk about the replicators and different things. If it's in balance with nature, that's fine. But so the Draco took over humanity, and then the hook came. And then since then, they've set up various control structures, mainly human. And their next level down, the Draco are the main control. The next level down are what's known as the parents, which is made up of 13 covens, which are the third layer of the structure, and 8 others. So there's 21 parents who basically controlled Earth from on the ground on behalf of the Draco. Now, they were abused by the Draco also, and they were lied to by the Draco, and this compartmentalizing has gone on ever since. The covens are the 13, they're the third level of the structure. And the fourth level is what people will be more familiar with, which is the Illuminati. Now, what has transpired over the last number of months is pressure has been applied, both upstairs and on the ground, by certain individuals or groups, and the Draco are leaving in the fall. So that's the top structure gone. Some of the parents were quite happy with that. As I say, they've been abused and they've been lied to. But pressure was applied on the parents, and to this date, 17 of the 21 parents have stepped down. That means 17 of the 21, there's 4 left. 3 will never resign. 1 is well known, but the name is not out. The 4th one, who's expected to step down this week or next week, is a Saudi prince, and that will leave the 3 left who have more abilities than the other 18. They want to continue. They want to wipe humanity out. They also want to wipe the bloodlines out. That is what they want, and they want to start cybernetics, half man, half robot, so they can prolong their life. Now, some of these beings, the parents are an earlier version of the humanoid of us, like type 1, we're type 2. And some of them, the youngest one I've been told is 7,000 years old, and the oldest is 13,000 years old. So it runs along with lines with some of the elders. There used to be 11, there's 9 now, who are of a similar age. They have the secrets of life longevity. We've had our life trimmed drastically. 3D life, a lifespan is normally 900 to 1500 years. But with the genetics and interference that's gone on, our lifespan has been cut. That's how they can maintain the control. If you've only got a short lifespan, you're not seeing the patterns that's gone on over hundreds and thousands of years. So what we're left now is 4 parents who are going down to 3. Further pressure will be applied on them to step down. And the Illuminati, which is made up of the Nazis, the Zionists, and the Jesuits, who are like a subgroup, are currently battling amongst each other. They want their own control. They realize that level is the bloodline level, and they realize that the parents want to wipe them out as well eventually, and so they're battling for control. And so currently we're seeing a lot playing out in the media where Clinton, who's aligned with the Nazi faction, is being thrown to the wolves by the Zionist media. So we're getting disclosure in a funny way, really. But the war raging between those three groups behind the scenes for most people is quite extensive, and we're likely to see further disclosures.
I just saw an article before showtime tonight. Hillary Clinton's email server was actually in this guy's bathroom. This came from a tech website. Well, it's kind of appropriate if you think.
Yeah, probably in the toilet. That's where it belongs after it's been read.
It's kind of like, what, you were on a budget with this thing? You're running a Windows server in a bathroom for high security, national security documents? Really?
Yeah, you know, everything she says is utter crap anyway, so it's kind of fitting, really.
you got to remember something. You just mentioned national security. You tell me who wants to go in Hillary's bathroom. That'd be pretty secure.
We don't want to know. We, as Biggie would say, too much information. To redirect back into the topic, and I want to move into the collateral accounts and Neil's work as well, but Drake and Thomas, how do you think disclosure will come? This may be the greatest shock humanity will receive. I mean, all the things we've talked about, all the changes that are coming, the politics, the economics, military, all of that. But the greatest secret on the planet right now is the presence of the ET, something that I think some of us have been working towards for a long time to reveal. But the general public out there still treats this as this cute little subject or as scary monsters or whatever form the media has given us to understand it. What, in your view, will be disclosure? And I hate the term, but we'll use it because it's the most convenient.
Let me jump in with some humor. I suggested to ET that we land on the White House lawn or show up on the Tonight Show, or, you know, we got somebody we want you to be, and you can ask him questions, and you got this 9 foot tall dude, you know, with a hoodie and fiery eyeballs, and he comes over and sits down, you know. I don't know, Tommy. From what I hear, the disclosure is going to be a combination of introduction over a period of time. Okay, as I understand it, they're gonna start with the most aware races, which are your third and fourth world nations. Yeah. That's what I hear. So
well,
that's
going to
be.
We have a certain. It's funny you'd say that.
Ones we would be more familiar with, rather than some of the more exotic ones.
Right.
It's going to freak people out. Yeah. You know. Some of the meetings that took place between the cabal and ET and the councils upstairs, the cabal basically have agreed to disclosure, but on their terms. And basically what they asked for was a 50-year term, their life longevity. But some of these people we see on the news, and politicians and royal families are a lot older than we realize, and their life longevity would end, and they would all be dead within 50 years. At that point, we can disclose the rather heinous crimes that those people have committed. Disclosure is going to come in two forms. The disclosure, it, with a small d, is the financial, the fraud, the corruption, the Illuminati, and then disclosure with a capital D is the ET. And neither are going to be comfortable for the majority of the general public, because things have gone on behind the scenes that would literally turn your stomach. Not just the ET stuff either. I'm talking about politicians and royal families and what they get involved with. It's going to be rather upsetting to many, and the lies we've been told. But basically, you'll wake up one day and disclosure will come out, and you'll feel like your whole world has been tipped upside down. Those have been involved in, like yourself, we've had a nice introduction. Will we be surprised at the end of it? Probably in some aspects, but largely no.
See, that's the important part about what the alternative media has done, I will say, for the last 5 years conservatively. Yeah. You know, people wondered, why are people talking about UFOs and extraterrestrials and other races? And the answer is that a lot of this was a way to gently bring this information forward, because it is coming forward. We have mainstream TV now that is actually, you know, in a soft way, some of it glossed over and frankly some of it bullshit, at least presenting the concept that this is, quote, probable, possible. And I've said for years, we've been in a disclosure mode since the 70s anyway, when major entertainment began to pick up on it, was Spielberg. And Close Encounters was the big one. That was the breakthrough. So we definitely have been in this mode for a long time now. But I can't help but think, as you pointed out, Tom, that the shock for some people is going to be, well, let's just say some people are going to be sitting in a corner wetting themselves for a while over this one.
Yes, it's going to have a major, major impact. None of us like being fooled.
Yeah.
You know, and we've been fooled right in front of our faces. You know, there's a film called Hidden in Plain Sight in the book.
Yeah.
And it has been in plain sight, but you don't know the codes. You don't know the signs or the signals. You know, Drake's often mentioned about the show. And it's a good analogy of the situation that we're facing now. The movie called They Live. You know, there's ETs in disguise. Some of them are rather famous that you would know. And it's hard for people to accept, you know, but all we can do is present the information and open the door. It's up to the individual to walk through that door. And more people have walked through the door. And more people are now having the courage, as we've encouraged it on Cosmic Voice, to come forward with their stories. There's many I've had a varying range of be it abduction or other paranormal experiences, and they're frightened to come forward because they think the rest of society will think they're nuts. This is how controlled the flow of information. You know, the minute somebody comes out, they end up in a psych ward, and oh, that person's nuts. You know, they're trying to do it with a Assange, or they put you on a sex charge. You know, so they turn the public against people. Well, this is real, and the people.
Well, let's just look at the body.
They can't face up to it. But the reality is, the bigger picture here is the ET. Mm. It is the control system. Our money came from Orion. It's all about their control. A lot of our history is not our history. A lot of the old books are not our history. It's their history. And all we are, whether people believe what I'm saying tonight, that's entirely up to the individual. But look into it. It may save you some of the shock value at a later date, because we will get disclosure. The cabal got told no can do in no uncertain terms. 50 years is not happening, and it's likely to be within the next 2 years or sooner. Full disclosure.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else you want to add to that subject, either one of you? No, we're good.
I think you know, it's a lot of information to people who haven't heard some of that, and just look into it.
I would highly recommend to my listeners and to the people who see this video later to go over to Blog Talk Radio, get the archives of Cosmic Voice. I'll put the link up with the show when we post it. And yes, people in Cosmic Voice, there is recording being done. You will have a copy of the show. I promise that. And
I think
I got one thing
to see, Drake.
I got something to add to that. That the last part, shock to the system is one thing. a lot of the people will not take the disclosure correctly. And by that, I mean simply, this is not a destruction of the belief system of the planet. There is a, quote, God that we call Source, Creator, however you want to look at that. And there are angelic-type beings. Those Absolutely. Are higher level yes. Yes. that would appear here. So yeah. you have a situation where, no, your belief system doesn't necessarily have to go totally in the toilet. However, and this is the fun part, a lot of the stuff that you've been taught, and I'm in a bunch of it, is horse hockey. Now, I had one privilege, and that was to talk to the Royal Librarian, the Keeper of the Keys, the man who kept the archives at and saw to the content of the Vatican archives. This man told me he was well aware of all of this. They have been for hundreds of years, mm-hmm. and now it's beginning to start to happen, and so they're going to have to come clean as well. Now, I just figured I'd let everybody know that, okay?
A lot of people speculated that the Pope coming here may in fact be an overture to disclosure from the Vatican themselves. I don't know what to think of that.
They were told, from my understanding, that they would disclose the ET. Not Obama.
No, not Obama. No. Let's jump over here. Let's go into the collateral accounts, the work that Neil Keenan's doing, what that means, and how that interfaces with the activities that you've been involved with in terms of Freedom for America, Freedom for the World, and how we're going to move forward economically in this new system.
Greg?
Go ahead, Tommy.
No, I think your turn.
My turn, okay.
Okay, somebody, damn it, just talk.
Oh boy. Well, everybody has heard of a lot of people have heard of Solomon's Mines, and that's basically the origins of the collateral accounts. That's how it basically started. Some of it started even before then, but that's the easiest way to put it on somebody else. The collateral accounts are humongous. And by that, I mean huge, huge. The collateral accounts, being called collateral, are stated to be such because those are the points of origin of all of the currencies on the planet. Now, everybody needs to understand that. Neil has been attempting to garner a combination of full access and attempting to become the legal representatives for the collateral accounts. Now, there are families involved who both husband or take care of the collateral accounts in different locations, and there are also depositors and owners. So there's a combination of things. The ideology is that all of the collateral account will be used in a combination for humanitarian purposes. This means if somebody's living in a house that ain't got a floor, we'll go put a floor in for them, and we'll hire somebody to do it, pay them decent. Bingo, you're creating work. The idea that people can skate free, not having to work because their butt hurts, well, if they get up off the couch, their butt might go round again and they won't have that flat spot to work with. You have a lot of people that refuse personal responsibility simply because society in general has refused to place personal responsibility into their lives. The personal responsibility is going to be not only for your actions through common law, restrictions in governance by things of the nature of the Constitution and things of that like, but the morality is very simple. It goes to the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you, period. Okay. The the American Indians had a very good society because they adopted the Golden Rule principle as their guidance in terms of their manner of living. So then if you have common law, which stipulates, you know, if you did damage or you caused a problem or you did such and such, you recompense that person, you fix it, you buy them a new cow, whatever went on. When you then realize that along with the collateral accounts as a worldwide effort, not just simply one little spot here and there, but as a worldwide effort, you also have to understand that there are things like the World Council that are making determinations as to the to how every individual can have the same equal equity in terms of the respect for their life as everybody else. Right now, African life is cheap. And I'm talking about in Africa, not here. Indians here in the States are still being shot at, as are a lot of indigenous people around the planet, by people who think it's funny to do so. These amoral or immoral or whatever you want to, I could think of other names, but I'll use those. These people are going to have to be dealt with. If we cannot re-educate them, then my suggestion is that we execute them. Now, the reason I suggest that is that we are free of them. And here's the other part. My understanding from ET is that they will take that spirit and re-educate it so that it is no longer tainted with that sort of thought process. And that is pretty heavy. Now, as ET comes out, the collateral accounts probably will lose their luster to an extent. But the collateral accounts are designed, and there's a, when I say a load of money, I'm talking, say, 100,000 tons of gold. I think about 100,000 tons of gold. And you got a per ounce price of 1,100 and it's going up. What kind of money are you talking about? You're talking about enough to be able to implement any kind of project needed, be it fresh water, be it roads, be it schools, be it decent housing or whatever, anywhere on the planet and planet-wide. And when I ran across that ideology, I thought, wow, you know, that's really great. Now, one of the stipulations is that in the collateral accounts is that nobody, in terms of government, gets a dime. They're on their own. They got to pay their own bills. Just like the people of the United States are not specifically required to pay the debt of the corporation, you also have the same situation in a lot of other countries. Now, in some countries, the people do sign on to participate with the indebtedness of the government. This is not the case here, as far as I understand. What else do you want to know, Randy?
I don't know whether he's dropped. Oh, there he is.
Yeah, he's back.
Neil mentioned the figure of somewhere in the region of 93 quadrillion is contained in
The numbers are enormous. I mean, we've got this gold, which is basically in vaults and in various locations in Southeast Asia, as I understand. And I also understand these vaults as well are secured in a way that most people might not understand, because they actually are sealed by, well, shall we say, spirit beings, very powerful spirit beings who don't give their booty up easily. But, you know, I'm told
the spirits that outside, and the guardians outside, and the spirits inside.
Yeah. And so extricating this is going to take some extraordinary effort from extraordinary people to do this, and we're working on a short window with that as well, as I understand it. I know
Neil has had to go through many layers to get to where he is, because he has to have approval from the elders, from the guardians, and from the spirits before he can go in. Now, Neil is the first Westerner ever to go in them bunkers or vaults. First ever Westerner. That's the importance of Neil. And he's rather close.
In terms of what these funds actually mean, this is gold that belongs to the Dragon family specifically. This, we're not talking here about China. We're not talking about a nation. We're talking about a very ancient dynastic family that has, over the course of a very long spread of history, acted in the background as benefactors for humanity. Is that correct? That's my understanding.
Well, they tried to help humanity in 1934, and they lent the US a vast volume of gold because the US was bankrupt after the Depression, deliberately bankrupt, I might add. And the deal was that the US had to pay 4% interest per year in gold, which was okay for a while, and then in 1961 they stopped it. They stopped the payments, and that was it. So China, and for the message for the people who think China is coming to wipe us out, China wanted to wipe us out. They would have done it in 1961 when the US refused to pay the interest on the loan. Now the deal was the gold was to be lent for 60 years. And the deal was that the US was going to improve its infrastructure, and the rest of the money was to be spent on humanitarian programs all around the world. Well, of course, the UK Crown and Cabal and the Rothschilds and all the other hideous entities decided, and JP Morgan was the main one over here, they would use that to go to war again and take all the gold off China. That was what the Second World War was mainly about. You know, there's documents that will become available showing signatories of Britain, the US, China, and Japan agreeing to start World War II in 1921. 18 years before the Second World War started, they had already agreed to have the Second World War. Now they've already agreed to have a Third World War. I can assure you 100% that will never happen on this planet again. Neither will nuclear weapons. People will say, oh, it went off in Iran, there was one in Yemen. No, it wasn't. They've been shut down. They've been shut down since the 60s in the main. For people who need to find out more about that, look into the US base in Montana, the 1967 incident, and you'll get more information on that. They were shut down on successive nights, and in the end it was just a waste of time refiring them up again, but you just turn them off again. So that's kind of what played out with the gold. And then in 1994 the US, along with the Crown of England, decided they wouldn't hand the gold back at all, even the original amount, never mind the interest. And so China took them to the World Court, and the World Court in 1998 agreed to with China that the US had to retain the gold. Only problem is they didn't have it. They haven't got it, and the small amounts they had were in the World Trade Center. Now the date for return of that gold was September 12th, 2001, one day after 9/11.
Coinky dink.
And the gold was in the World Trade Center, or some of it, nowhere near the full amount. So China is kind of reluctant to be giving the US anything currently, because we've kind of get, when I say we, I mean the corporation, not the people. we have to take our country back. Currently we don't have a country, we have a corporation. We have to take that back, remove this rogue element, and the US will get support from the collateral accounts, but not while we've got these rogue politicians and bankers and other criminality running around masquerading as a government when it's not.
Well, now, I heard that China did give us something. They took $800 billion worth of securities and dumped them on the market. You know, that's China going, "Hi, America, how you doing?" Well, I mean, you got it.
I only lowered the wild 3 days running, so.
We're the ones that we you don't go into the financial minister's office and say, "Oh, we'd like to da 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 da," and then the guy says, "No, I don't think so," and you and the dink that came over from our side said, "Oh, now listen here, boy, do you know who I am?" And yeah, do you know what we can do? Where do you get? And at this point, the Chinese official goes, "And just where do you get off talking to me like that?" "Well, now you understand what we're at. Guard, escort this boy to the airplane." That was a financial meeting between our financial minister and theirs. The boy got shown the bums rush out the door.
Yep.
So Jack Lew doesn't have very good popularity with the Chinese financial minister at all. That's just a quickie story. What else are we getting into now? Are we going to keep on going beating these bricks of gold?
No, actually, I just wanted to get that on the record for this audience, what the history and the background was with Neil and what Neil's doing. Are we looking at a time when we will no longer be reliant on money per se? In other words, if you look at money right now, and I understand the toxic money system that we have now, in my opinion, has poisoned the consciousness of the Western world for far too long. Is there a place in the time where we move into something, and I'm thinking probably more like a Star Trek type thing where there is no money anymore, where needs are met? Do we get to that place? Is that part of this consciousness?
Well, once the technology that is available is released, particularly what we would call the replicators, they can pretty much replicate anything you want. People are now seeing what we were talking about, or Drake was talking about on the show 3 years ago, the 3D printers. It's the same concept. You just need a slightly bigger machine to make a car or make a house. China are building 10 fully fitted homes in one day with the 3D printers. So a lot of professions will not be required once this technology comes out. It can literally make whatever you want and recycle it. So there's the only thing, the issue with the replicators, it doesn't do fermented products too well, the cheese and wine and alcohol, so you have to stick with that. But it's so that would then alter everything. We've got technology, we've had technology since 1906 where we don't require to pay full electricity or gas or coal or nuclear. You can thank J.P. Morgan for that, because he shut Tesla down. All the utility money we've paid and still paying,
which, by the way, was supposed to be prepaid. That was a covenant that was made a long time ago. It was prepaid. They send us a bill. They don't even send us bills.
Send a statement.
And we're stupid enough to pay the statement instead of signing it, sending it back.
Yeah, a statement is not a bill to pay.
Yeah, I mean, we've got, the re-education process is probably the biggest issue, because in the transition from where we are now, the shit stem, to getting to the place where we are monetarily free and where we have all this technology, we've got a boatload of re-education to do, because people have no idea how badly screwed they've been and how much they've enjoyed it in the process.
Yes, we have to end this consumer world. And the biggest word that I can come up with is the competing competition. Competition is for sport, but we've been corralled into competing against each other. Better job, better house, better car, better clothes, all to lay you into their debt structure. And then you've got go to college and you'll get a better job. No. All you're doing is
that's working out real well right now.
You're just saddling your child or the parents with $70,000 worth of debt.
Come on now, Tommy. Don't you know that he who dies with the most toys wins?
Yeah. So he suddenly thrusting the child into a life cycle of debt, with no chance of paying it back on working at McDonald's or Burger King. They're the only jobs, that service jobs, are the only jobs that are available. And it's deliberate.
I always think when you talk about competition and you look at little kids, and I'm talking 2-3 years old, how natural they are in their play. They compete to the point where it's fun. When we were kids, we played baseball in a sandlot. And when we were done at the end of the day, everybody went off and bought a soda pop. Now, kids are raised and bred to compete with each other.
We're doing is destroying ourselves.
It's blood sport. It's basically the mindset of the Colosseum.
And the same thing applies to countries.
Yes.
You know, I have a slight disagreement with Neil Keenan. You know, he's saying, well, it belongs to the dragon families. And I understand that. But just because, in my opinion, just because oil is in North Dakota does not mean it belongs to the United States. Every resource belongs to every person on this planet. And the sooner we realize that and apply it, then the need for wars and control and land grabs ends. You share the oil. Share the resources.
That is part of what's coming. The problem is that in our present situation, you have to set things up in such a manner so that the basis takes over control. In other words, the collateral accounts would then be the controlling factor to make sure that the oligarchs and multinationals and whomever can no longer, first of all, do that, and we can at the same time set things up in such a manner so that it can never happen again. But you got to get there. And this is what we're going through and what we're heading towards. The manner in which it's presented is not necessarily the outcome. Mm-hmm. And I fully agree. This is why the collateral accounts would be used for the people most in need first, whom you would want to try to feed, clothe, house, you know, take care of, so that they can become a productive human being in terms of working or whatever. Then you got something to work with. Same thing with the financial system. You have to first take control of it in such a manner so that they lose all their control. This is going on presently. And as they lose their control, then they no longer have that tool, that leverage to cause us to behave. Then we can all go, hi, flip the bird and just, you know, boat motor down. The only problem I got with technology is that whatever it is, if it don't make cold beer, it's not worth much.
I don't want to leave that as our last thought, but it's a damn good one. Is there anything we didn't ask? Is there any area that we didn't touch? I see we've got about 3 minutes left on the stream tonight.
Other technology, we had one guy who mentioned, and Drake probably knows a bit more about this than I, was the healing machines.
Yes.
That's been denied. And from all accounts, you basically go into this machine for 30 minutes for a maximum of 3 visits. And all your cells are regenerated back 30 years. This is some of the technology that's being denied us. There is other types, but that's one of them. So all disease would be literally wiped out with these machines. So no paying for Obamacare and ridiculous amounts of money for health, you know, and people going bankrupt because they're ill or they've had a car accident. You know, it's mind-boggling we allowed that to happen.
Well, the main thing I'm seeing is the general direction everybody is going is away from the control, away from the obligation, and many people now have actually stuck their head up above the rut and are looking around going, there's a world out there. Yeah. And I suggest that the whole of the gist of everything that we do, all of our efforts, anything that we can come up with, are primarily designed toward allowing everybody, not allowing, but causing things to be in such a condition where everybody can be absolutely free for the very first time since all this started. And that's basically why I'm willing to put 16, 18 hours a day in to accomplish it. Now, here's the other problem. Everybody, there's a lot of individuals, small groups of individuals doing that, but we need an army. We need everybody and their mother-in-law. If mother-in-law needs help walking with her walker, we'll see that somebody's a couple strong dudes get on both sides and help her go. It's not a problem. Everybody and their mother-in-law needs to get involved in this to some point. Mention it to somebody or say something or, you know, look into it.
That's 1 minute. We got 1 minute. Okay. Tell people how they do that. Tell people how they find you and how they get involved.
Well, where
find me?
No, we're not on, you personally.
We're on Cosmic Voice on the Facebook page. And we are also on the Blog Talk show. We are Blog Talk every Wednesday at 8 till 11 p.m. So,
and I will put links up with all of this.
Our website is AmericanNationalMilitia.com. And we have anything goes out on the blog goes on there. So go from there.
And those links have been running with the stream tonight. They'll be posted with the show. That ends it for tonight. I need to thank you guys again for moving your schedule around, for coming on, and thank you so much for appearing on Off Planet TV. That's going to wrap it up for tonight. I'm Randy Moggins. This is Off Planet TV. The truth is out there. It's inside you. Now let's go get her done.